So you're getting older and things are starting to change with your body, your skin. Oh, let's face it, everything. Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Anti-Aging Uncensored, the show for driven women who want real solutions to defy their age. I'm your host, Jill Gilbert, digital health leader and entrepreneur. I'm a self-proclaimed product junkie as well as an overly obsessed fan of anti-aging breakthroughs and cutting-edge health solutions. And I'm going to help you tackle the challenging and oh-so-extraordinary next years of your lives. Now let's dive into the latest episode of Anti-Aging Uncensored. What if I told you that the things you did when you were younger were just the teaser for your life right now? In today's episode, I want to ask you to set aside all of your preconceived beliefs about what your life should be like at 40, 50, 60, and on up, and be open to the idea that some of your greatest life's achievements and experiences might just be beginning. There's a saying I've been using to remind myself when I think about what's still possible. Here it goes. I thought changing careers at 35 was too late. I thought selling my business and starting over at 41 was pushing it at that. I thought there was no way I could be happier and more confident at 52 than I was in my 20s and 30s. But here I am. So ladies, are you ready to take control of your destiny and live a little bit in the uncomfortable to achieve your biggest goals? My guest today is here to show us the way. Sherry Ott is the goddess of doing big, sometimes unnerving and uncomfortable things. I'll let her tell you her background, but let's just say what she's been doing for years now can teach each of us how we can live some of our greatest joys from this day forward, even if it feels getting there is a little scary. It's time to stop living a life defined by our age. And today, Sherry's going to help us do just that. Let's dive in. Today, my friend and travel connoisseur, Sherry Ott, is joining me. Welcome to Anti-Aging Uncensored, Sherry.
Thank you. I love this. I never would have expected to be doing this with you. Years ago when we were younger.
I know. First of all, would we ever have even wanted to talk about aging? Probably not.
God, no. And we didn't even know what a podcast was. That wasn't in our vocabulary.
Oh, that's so true.
Nor were smartphones or anything when we knew each other, when we met, I guess I should say.
Yeah. You know what? You're so right. Like, think how easy would our vacations have been if we could have like texted each other or like that guy's hot kind of things.
I always think of like when we lived in San Francisco and trying to get taxis. And now I think, oh my God, Uber. Could you imagine back then we had that backdoor number to get the taxis?
Exactly. I will tell you, it's a savior. It's a savior. I started driving my car instead of taking taxis, and this was supposed to be the taxi city. So anyway, I am so excited you are here. And you know, we are here to talk about something really important, but I really think your background, just to set the stage, tell us a little bit about you, where you come from, and sort of the big things you've been doing the last, I don't know how many years.
Well, it's been a long time since I lived in San Francisco, probably about 27 years or so. And there have been a lot of changes in my life. So for the first like 14 years of my career, I would say, I worked in IT in big corporations, doing project management and leadership stuff there. I think the last place I worked was Coach in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember coming to visit.
Oh, yeah. Loved when you worked for Coach.
Yes. And it was great, but I was, you know, I was in my mid-30s at that point, and I had this kind of moment where I wasn't really thrilled about my job and what I was doing. And I had this moment where I'm like, is this really what I want to do for the rest of my life, really? Mm-hmm. And I also knew that in some weird way, this career chose me. I didn't choose it. And I wanted to kind of stop and think about that a little bit. Like, I didn't even really choose this career. It chose me. I was really good at it. I ran with it. It took me you know, living in great places all over the world. It gave me a really comfortable lifestyle. But I just didn't know if that's what I wanted to do forever. And I decided I would just step away and take a break. And so at 36 years old, I left that corporate job. I sublet my apartment in New York City, and I took off to go around the world for a year on what I called a career break. And, you know, that we hear that now all the time, but this was 2006, and that wasn't that normal.
So you didn't set out to sort of like potentially not come back. Like there was a potential that you could have come back. You didn't set out on that. You just set out to step away.
Yes. I wanted to do the stuff that I didn't want to wait until retirement, basically, to do some of these things I wanted to do, because I also knew that, you know, I might not be able to climb Kilimanjaro by the time I was retired. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen between mid-30s and 60s. And so I thought, you know, why are we waiting for all these things for retirement? And, you know, here I'm in the best shape of my life. Why don't I go do some of this stuff that I want to do? I can really, really enjoy it.
So tell me what happened. Tell me about the transformation that happened, you know, during the first year, and then what set you on this completely new course?
The transformation the first year was really interesting, because I had never, I went out to do this travel around the world by myself. I had various friends kind of join me for different parts, but essentially it was by myself solo. I had never done anything like that before. I had never really traveled that much before. So this wasn't something like, I wasn't this seasoned world traveler. I had just gotten my passport when I was 30 years old. So it was all new to me. And I think it took about, I remember about 3 months into the travel. I was in New Zealand and I thought, I love this. Like, I love it. I love experiencing something new every day. And that's what it was. I mean, and think about that. Back in our old, you know, in my old job, it was the same thing all the time. I mean, it might have been different projects, but I took the same way to work. I did everything the same. And I loved the newness. And so at that point, just 3 months in, I was like, I got to figure out a way to stay on the road. I had figured out a way to save and do this for 1 year, and I'd sublet the apartment for a year. But I knew right away that it's like, I want to, a year's not going to be enough time, basically.
And there's a lot of challenges because, well, finances, all of that stuff, right?
Finances,
probably number one, right?
Finances, yeah, for staying on the road. I had saved for that year, but staying on the road, then the big question was, well, what am I going to do? I have to make money. And then I kind of spent the next, I don't know, about 12 months trying to answer that question. What am I going to do to make money as I traveled all over the world? And at that time, I ended up, you know, meeting people along the way, and I ended up coming up with a plan to do what everyone did back then, which was teach English abroad.
Is that what everyone did?
Yeah, that was. That was kind of like the thing you could do to live abroad. I mean, it was before we really had this kind of, you know, digital nomad culture, anything like that. So most people worked abroad or taught English ESL abroad. And I decided, yeah, that could be pretty cool. And I decided that I went back to New York after about a year and a half. I ended up kind of stretching my budget and was out on the road for a year and a half. And then I sold everything I owned at that point. I got rid of the apartment and I moved to Vietnam to go teach ESL, or English as a second language. And that was, I mean, that was an even scarier leap. I don't even know how I did it sometimes, but I really wanted to do it. And that's what kept me going on the road. After that year,
please continue.
After that year of teaching English in Vietnam, I always say Vietnam taught me to be really scrappy, because I didn't just teach English. I did all kinds of things. I met expats. I ended up consulting. I did all kinds of stuff. And yeah, I taught some English. And after that point, I was kind of off and running. At that point, social media had come up, smartphones were in everyone's hands. And all of a sudden, the idea of blogging as a pseudo living, I knew I wasn't going to make a ton of money, but it was possible to like blog and travel the world. So at that point, I decided I'm going to go completely nomadic. And because I figured I could keep costs down that way, because I wasn't going to make that much money, and I was going to be a blogger.
Yep.
And that's what I did. And it just took off, and I was in the right place at the right time. I already had an audience. I jumped on all the social media early on, not because I knew it was going to be anything, but because I just thought it was kind of cool.
Well, it's also a great way to share when you're going around the world and connect with other people and don't have and the same connections anymore, right?
That's right. So yeah, you know, as the technology changed, it made it really easy to be on the road all the time. And I ended up, you know, growing my website, getting involved in all kinds of projects and really becoming a professional blogger, I guess you would call it. So I became a professional blogger and I was nomadic for 11 years. I didn't have a home and I had a storage unit back in New York City.
God.
So I kept moving all over, doing different projects, doing adventures, doing crazy stuff. And then about 4 years ago, I finally decided I'm, you know, nearly 50 years old. I need a home again. And I settled down here in Denver as a home base, but I still do all that traveling. I mean, I'm still obviously blogging and more projects than ever these days. So it's been really good.
That is a great story. one that not everyone can do, you know, not everyone has the same drive, but they... I mean, that's kind of what we're here to talk about today. Is like, what are the things that we want to accomplish? And I'd love to start by asking you a little bit about discomfort. Now, sounds like a horrible question, but like, let's talk about pain. But we don't mean it in the terms of, but like, living, and I keep seeing quotes about this. I keep seeing, you know, advice about, you know, the great things happen when we live in a little bit of discomfort, that if we just sort of are passive through our lives, that that things don't happen. They don't just happen to us. So I'd love to hear your kind of thoughts on that and where your mind was, knowing that this discomfort was happening.
Yeah, I think first of all, I agree. Discomfort is necessary in life. It helps you grow in so many ways. And every one of these things we talked about, every one of these big transitions I made, leaving my job, moving to Vietnam, becoming nomadic, all were full of discomfort. And even when I decided to settle down and get a home base again, that was full of discomfort because I was so used to it the other way. So all these things definitely had hurdles to overcome for me, but yet they were also exciting in many ways. Like take, for example, just me leaving my job for the first time and going out for that year. I was really excited to do that. I was also terrified. I didn't know what I was doing, but that discomfort, you know, I think being being uncomfortable and being absolutely, you know, scared, like scared for your life are two different things. Discomfort to me is kind of like teetering on that edge of, ooh, I'm really excited about this. And then the other side is, but I'm also really fearful about it. And you know, you have to kind of walk that line.
I'm not married, but I can imagine that is how it feels when you're looking down that aisle.
I actually have dreams about that. And it
Do
is
you?
That's I wake up feeling extremely uncomfortable and stressed out. Yeah. But yeah, it is true. It's just like walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
Well, what we would imagine at least.
What we would imagine.
Neither one of us are married. But yeah. And I think, you know, different from if you're really scared, you know, but there was enough of that excitement that would push me. So even though I, you know, said goodbye to all my friends and I went to the airport to go leave I think, the first place I went was Nairobi to Kenya so that I could go climb Kilimanjaro. And I was crying. I mean, and I wasn't crying because I was going to miss my friends or anything like that. I mean, I knew I was going to, but the tears were fear because I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. I might not like it. But
Do you think that taking these steps that you did made you realize what you are capable of? I mean, do you think that the more frequent of taking baby steps, like I said, you don't have to like get rid of your apartment and give up your job and you don't have to give up all of these things to make big things happen, right? Or to make small things happen.
No.
And I'm just wondering, does it get easier for you the more you sort of took these small steps?
Absolutely. That's the nice thing about, you know, kind of pushing yourself into that uncomfortable space is it gets easier every time. And the other thing is it kind of gets more addicting too, in a way, because once you actually accomplish this thing that you were fearful of, it's like, what is that? The Grinch who stole Christmas, right? Your heart grows five times or whatever. Like your confidence grows. And then you look for the next thing and it grows again. And you use that new confidence to go to the next thing. And I know that's some of, you know, the reason why I continued and I just kind of kept on this path of doing more and crazier things in a way. The thing that's interesting is what I find for myself is, if I'm not traveling like this last year, all of a sudden you kind of can lose some of that confidence. You can lose some of that ability too. And so, you know, it's good to always kind of, to always kind of put myself back in that discomfort to keep trained right. up in a way. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. I had heard this story once about, you know, marathoners or people who are like, we're going to run the first marathon, that it just doesn't end after the marathon or after they finally win the marathon or get the gold medal or whatever it is, right? Whatever that achievement is, that we have a drive that as I think it's human nature. I think most people are like this, that there is a drive to always be improving, challenging ourselves in ways. And when that stops, we stop.
Yes. I always say that's when you get old, really.
that's great.
Yeah.
So let's, I want to dive into some of the strategies and things that we can do to start opening ourselves up to doing these changes. But I really wanted to first talk a little bit about age, in all honesty, because as we get older, things start to change. I mean, not that people don't get divorced young, because they do often, but some people are starting, you know, a second act with either a new partner or as a single woman. Some people are, becoming empty nesters, or their kids are now grown up and either going off to college or married with kids or any of the above, or maybe just teenagers with this audience. And I think that it's a perfect time when we were like all caught up with either giving to someone else or giving to our kids, that this is the perfect time to do something and start taking some of the dreams. And even sometimes we forget what those dreams are. Like I got asked what my hobbies were the other day and I couldn't answer. So sometimes we like forget what our hobbies were. That isn't work, which is, I was like, work is my hobby. But yeah, I think that I don't think life has to slow down at that age. I think this is the opportunity. It may not be climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, but it could be traveling. It could be, you know.
We can push ourselves in so many ways. We really can. I think I absolutely agree with you, you know, especially moms, families, whatever, like you're so committed to that for so long. And all of a sudden, whether you're retiring or the kids are out of the house, like here you've got this grand moment to make change or to finally do these things that you've been dreaming of. But lots of people, because they haven't pushed themselves for the last 20 years, not like, you know, parenting isn't work, but it's a different kind of pushing yourself, but they haven't like put themselves first and pushed themselves. They kind of forget how to do it.
Yeah.
And I think
100%.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think, we're really set in our ways and we're kind of happy sometimes being set in our ways. It's like our, it's also kind of at the same time, it's like, oh, but I want to coast now. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I do think it's important to also, you know, try new things and push yourself a little bit so that you don't age prematurely in a way. You know, and sure, we might take up a new hobby, you know, taking up a hobby, like, I don't know, writing, photography, something like that. And that's great. That's certainly learning something new, but I think there's a special benefit too, though, in really pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. So maybe that's, I don't know, maybe you take up writing or something, but that's easy for the most part. But if you decide to really push yourself and decide, I'm going to go live out of a van for 3 months and try van life and write about it as I travel around Mexico or the US or whatever, that's pushing yourself, right? That's taking it to another level. And those are the times where you're really going to reap the benefits of more confidence and more self-esteem.
I mean, it could even be leaving your job and starting your own home business because you want to have more time with your family or starting, you know, starting a small company. What do you advise someone to do if they wanted to start sort of imagining and defining some of the things that they might want to do that they haven't sort of conjured up yet?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of it is kind of going back on some, you know, whether that's looking through old pictures or something to maybe spark some of that sometimes as far as like, oh yeah, I remember when I wanted to do that or, you know, it was. Yeah. You know, if I were to look at old pictures of us in San Francisco, I probably thought I was going to be a dancer or something. I don't know. But I do think, you know, you need to kind of spark some of that a little bit, or if you have something in mind, you know, start to kind of brainstorm out what that looks like. I think one of the big things is to understand why that was important to you or why it is still important to you. You know, why is it that you want to do this? And, you know, it's that why that always keeps you focused, just like anything in life, really. But yeah, I think
it's a great exercise though, going back in photos and looking and not for the reason of like mourning your youth.
No.
For inspiration. You can mourn your youth.
Hey there, it's Jill with a quick break from the conversation. Do you women feel like your body is starting to rebel and you're just aching to take back control again? For years, you've given so much to so many, and somehow parts of you just got lost in the mix. I know this because that's how it was for me. Well, it's time for you to make your comeback. You heard me right. That's why I wrote a 5-step blueprint for how to start living your best years from this day forward. It's called Wicked, Ageless, and Doing Epic Shit. And you can download your own free copy today by visiting wickedawesomeyou.com/ebook. And now let's get back to the show.
Let's talk about the 3 strategies we can do to start doing big things. And for me, when I think about it, the first one comes with fear and doubt and change and scariness.
Yes. Well,
very profound.
Yeah. I used to have a quote that was up in the gym where I worked out that said, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Which I love.
It's like fantastic. That's,
yeah. I love that. And it's so true. And I think that's important for everyone to kind of think through, but yeah, I think there are a few you know, tips as far as, you know, getting through that big fear. In fact, I can probably think of three that I always talk about. And one is tell people what it is, what your big thing is that you want to do. You know, it scares you. I get it. It's a challenge. But if you start telling people what you're going to do, whether that's run a marathon, or I don't know, start a blog, learn how to use Instagram or TikTok or whatever, right? Those are also,
for me, it would be learn how to cook.
Challenges. Yeah. Okay. See? And, you know, and give yourself a big kind of goal there and be like, I'm going to have everyone over and I'm going to have a huge dinner party, you know, on this mm-hmm. day, you know, but put it out there, define it, throw it out there and let people know. I mean, that might not work for everyone. For me, mm-hmm. it worked for my type of personality and I am pretty driven, I would say. But it kind of puts that stake in the ground. Yeah. You know, telling the world what I'm going to do really motivates me. And I think it's because I have a fear of looking like a total flake and backing out or backing down. Mm-hmm. And that fear of looking like a flake really kind of overrides the fear that I have in doing whatever that challenging thing is, which is kind of strange, but that's, it definitely works for me. I told my family and friends before I quit my job in 2006, I told my family and friends that I was going to quit my job and travel around the world for a year, about a year and a half before I did it.
Oh, really?
Because I was starting to save at that time too, but mm-hmm. I wanted to put that out there so that every time I saw them, that was the topic of conversation. Oh, how's that coming along? How are you doing? What are you doing? You know, how are you getting ready? And it forced me to like move myself along. Mm-hmm. That's something that I probably could have easily drug my feet on.
And that, I mean, it is really good advice to sort of put it out there to, you know, as you say, lay a stake in the ground, because even if you sort of fall off, so to speak, like fall behind and fall off, mm-hmm. it's still a commitment that you have. And yeah. And I do want to give us, all of us, permission to let it morph into what you think it should be as you discover, mm-hmm. right? So that yeah. it doesn't always end up exactly as you planned.
Yeah.
Like maybe yeah. my dinner party is now for 2 instead of 10.
But that's okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I think as part of that too, you know, putting that stake in the ground, it's also kind of putting some stuff in motion. You know, start taking some of those to-do steps. So, when I quit my job to go do this, like I sublet my apartment, I had a going away party, I got rid of my cat before I ever even went in and quit my job. And I did that mm-hmm. a little bit because I knew that when I quit my job, they were going to try to get me to stay. And this way I took away that kind of temptation
to
not do it. So like putting some things in motion, I think is great. Like send out an invitation for your party.
In 2 years, you're all invited to my house for spaghetti.
No. Yeah. So that lay a stake in the ground, start some mm-hmm. things underway, I think is yep. important. I think another way to kind of start overcoming that fear is to start thinking more in the best case scenario or positive thinking in a way. And I get it. I know positive thinking is kind of a thing these days. There's all these positive journals and, you know, so on, but what I'm talking about,
make it happen journals. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Which that's, it's great. But I think what I'm talking about is just thinking about this logically. When we start thinking about something that intimidates us or makes us uncomfortable that we want to change, we immediately, because it's human nature, we think about the negative things that can go wrong. We think about everything that can go wrong. It's human nature. Mm-hmm. I sometimes think that it's easier to imagine like those things that go wrong. They're vivid. It sticks in our brains. We think about it all the time. I always say, okay, great. I'm not going to tell you not to do that because it's human nature to do that. But I want you to take an equal amount of time that you gave yourself to go in this weird wormhole and think of all the positive things that could happen. So it's your chance to dream. And, you know, I didn't do that when I was leaving my job and traveling, and I do that a lot now though, but if I had done it, I don't even think I could have imagined what these best case scenarios were, which was, you know, oh, I'm going to turn into a writer. I'm going to have a blog. I'm going to, you know, go to Antarctica. I'm going to, like, those were all the things. I don't even think I could have dreamt that up, but you know, those are the kind of positive things that happened. But I think we owe it to ourselves that if we're going to go to the negative space, we owe it to ourselves to go to that positive space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, write it down if you want, whatever you want, but it's only fair for your brain.
Yeah. And I love what you said about the outcomes you didn't even expect to happen, because I think the rewards, like, we can only imagine what the reward of doing something tough is, right? We can only imagine what that might feel like. Let's say it's, let's use something that we all can relate to, losing, you know, 30 pounds or whatever it is, right? So we can only imagine that that is going to reap peace, less stress, less embarrassment, blah, blah, whatever, whatever may be, you know, new clothes, you know, the kind of obvious things, right? Like, no, I don't have to wear Spanx anymore, potentially. I don't know if that's true, but I'm on my way. But I think that, like, we can list out, you know, all of those things, but the unexpected things are beyond. I have a dear friend that just lost a ton of weight. You did too, but you know, and the energy and the other stuff, like, we can hypothesize what that might feel like. We can kind of project it, but we don't know what it feels like.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm even saying, go even further and go, you know what, maybe I'll turn into a
swimsuit model
or something. I don't know. See, I was going a little bit
smaller. You're going hands.
You got the idea. Yeah. Maybe I'll turn into a middle-aged swimsuit model. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll end up writing a book about it. Maybe I'll end up, you know, leading others through this program. Maybe I'll end up as a host on the Today Show. I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I mean. Like, I could have, like I said, I could have never imagined that my life was going to take these twists and turns and so on. And it's fun for me lots of times to look back and go, wow, look at where what happened. But I think it's really important in the beginning to start to, you know, like, really get out there, think about it, write it down, you know, look at it when you're feeling terrified that, you know, something's going to go wrong, turn and go, but I could also be a swimsuit model.
Yeah. I love this idea. Okay. I picture us all on a cover one day. So, and the third strategy that we had talked about, which is, you know, I was joking about the Nike, just do it kind of thing, but it's that, you know, you've done the homework, you've done the, you know, depending on how big it is, right? I mean, you were picking up your life, which is a little bit different living on the road. But, you know, depending on how it is, you've done the homework. If it's weight loss, you've picked the program you're going to be on. It's preparing your refrigerator. It's whatever it is, buying the supplements. Doesn't matter what any of this, how this applies to you, to your challenge, but it's just do it.
Yeah. And that's true.
Set the date.
Nike. Yes. And I always say, so once you get that all set up, you've told everyone, you've thought about all the great things that can happen, you've done all your research, and now you just need to push through. And that probably means that at some point you may be very fearful. Like, I was crying in the airport. I was crying on the airplane. But you have to push through it. And I think it's important because we should get used to the sensation of fear sometimes, because it'll help us be able to push through it in the future. It's not going to be the first time that you ever experience fear in your life. And in fact, you've been doing it your whole life. Like, somehow you got on the bus and went to kindergarten. You dove off the high dive. You learned how to drive a car, whatever, all those things. We've been doing it our whole lives. But as we get older, somehow we get more scared.
Yeah. I was thinking about it as like we get skittish.
Yeah.
Cats. And I just did a post, ironically, actually think it's going up tomorrow. It's about risk taking. It's in our inner circle group. And it's about risk taking. And the thought, I had seen this amazing bridge in Portugal. I can't remember, but it was like literally like this long, like walking bridge over like the biggest ravine. And like my heart palpitation started going, cause I don't love heights, but I also don't like walking over the grates on the sidewalks. So there you go. But it made me start to think, do we take less risks when we get older, and were we more, and what is it that we're more afraid of now?
I think we feel like we have more to lose, but I absolutely like, sometimes I go and I'll speak to schools, you know, and I remember once I did this presentation to, I think it was fifth graders. And I have the standard presentation where I go through and I show them three different countries that are very different than the United States. And I talk about the transportation, the family life, and the school life in each country. So I talked about Vietnam, Mongolia, and Nepal. So all kind of developing countries, hard countries. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I ask them, you know, like, where would you rather be an exchange student? And it's always really interesting to see what they choose. But the thing that always struck me, kind of my aha moment, was, you know, here I am, I'm showing them pictures of Vietnam with all this crazy motorbike traffic. And, you know, just you're scared to cross the street. You know, they've got their babies hanging off of them on motorbikes, like whatever it is. And all of these kids, all of the fifth graders were like, oh, that is so cool. You know, whereas you show that same video or picture to an adult, and that will not be the reaction at all. Like, we grow out of that. We grow into fear. and wow. I think in order, we do. And wow. In order to try to, you know, combat that, you have to get back to that, like looking at things and going, yeah, that looks cool. I'm going to try it. And strangely.
Yeah. Like we lose that sort of,
oh yeah.
That trying to find a good word for this. It's like, we lose that sort of excitement and intrigue and curiosity. And I don't know how that happens. We talked a little bit earlier about sort of living in comfort and taking care of others and coasting and becoming more resigned. And I think, and this is my philosophy, I've been talking about this a lot on the podcast, I think it's just easier. So, you know, we joke about, oh, we have to take care of our kids, or we have to take care of, what about us? What about us? Well, I actually think it's just easier to take care of other people than take care of ourselves.
It is. Yeah. Because then we have to confront a lot of stuff with ourselves.
Yeah.
And stuff that we can't always control.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate, but hopefully we will inspire at least one person today to do something.
I hope so. To throw a dinner party or lose weight and become a supermodel.
Yeah. One or the other. Yeah. But there are so many, we had a great, guest on earlier talking about take the damn trip, and she had taken a trip before.
Listen to that.
It was very good and, very interesting, but it wasn't really about the trip. It was about, it was about doing something that, you probably dreamed about for a long time and just have it done. So, and you don't need to sell your kids. You don't need to do any of that, you know?
And I think the big outcome of it is a greater confidence. And once you do that once, the next time becomes easier. And easier and easier. And you can see that so clearly. I see so many women in their 40s and up that you know, are tired of their career and they want to make a change, whether that's start their own business or something, but they don't have the confidence to do it. They're scared that they're not going to make enough money, that they're going to end up destitute or something. And I always am amazed because I'm looking at them going, somehow you got this far, you know, 40 years, you got this far. What makes you think that you're just going to like forget all of that, all those things that are innate in you, and that you're going to become some bum or something? Like, I don't get it. Mm. Like, where did that confidence go? Or why don't you have it in yourself? I think if they were to just, you know, start making those steps, putting that stake in the ground, start just moving towards those things, thinking positively, you know, and then getting one of those wins under their belt, the next one becomes so much easier.
I think it's great advice. And I think it's great advice for all of us women, 40s, 50s. I mean, honestly, goes up and up and up. I said, you know, when I'm 90, I'll be like planning the party for after my funeral or something. So I do, I just think there's that innate, you know, growth that starts to happen the more we do it. So
Totally.
I think this is great advice. I love this topic. Do you have any like closing words?
Oh boy. I was just thinking myself, and it's even myself, like, I'm like, okay, I've been here for a year and a half now, kind of not doing much. I've done some things. Certainly I've taken up some new hobbies and things that have pushed me, but just recently I started having that feeling like, you know, Sherry, it's been a long time and you need to do something great again. And I have it. It's all up here and it's starting to formulate. And I'm in that, like, I'm probably a few months away from throwing it out there and putting my stake in the ground. And then it's going to be real. So,
well, let me know so I can share it with everyone so we can yeah, follow you. Really cool. And so where can people find you?
So they can find me still on my travel blog called otsworld.com. There I am still writing about a lot of things like epic trips, adventure travel for women, how to get off the beaten path and, you know, find those, really how to be an explorer again. That's the stuff that really drives me these days. So you can find me there with all kinds of stuff, with all kinds of articles about travel as well as lifestyle. And then also on social media, of course, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is all at OtsWorld.
Great. We'll make sure to put the links in our show notes. One last question before we sign off. What is one piece of advice that you would tell your 20-year-old self?
Oh, goodness. Well, I do think, man, I was so different at 20. First of all, in my family, I was the person like expected to never go anywhere, never even leave home.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I've changed a lot since 20.
Yeah, I think say so.
But I think I go back to a quote from Gilda Radner, strangely enough, that I always used to think she was cool, you know, on Saturday Night Live, but I never knew that she had said this. I came across this somewhere in my travels and I'm like, holy crap, this is really cool. But it's, some stories don't have a clear beginning, middle, or end. Life is about not knowing, having to change, taking the moment and making the best of it without knowing what's going to happen next. Delicious ambiguity.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. So
that is great.
You know,
that is great. Well, I hope, I can't wait to hear actually about your little stake in the ground that's about to happen. And I can't thank you enough. I know this, you know, this wasn't a travel discussion, but this is such an important, it's such a good example of doing something, not just big, but something, anything uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's something that we're always, it's always going to be a challenge as we get older.
Yeah. Well, we'll just continue to work on it and talk about it.
Yes.
And remind everyone. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
What an amazing treat that was to have her here. She has given me so much to aspire to. and reminding me to keep doing the things that can make the grandest impact in my own life, even when it feels like the exertion might not be worth it at the time. Even launching this podcast, Anti-Aging Uncensored, was scary, and it still sometimes is when I sit down behind the mic. But my personal mission of giving you the best solutions and strategies out there will allow you to take the reins of your own outcomes so you can live each day with brazen confidence and bliss. And if you want to be part of a group of women that are taking charge of their own lives while managing the transitions we all experience, join us over in our free private Facebook group called Hello You Inner Circle. We'll be delivering content that just might give you what you need to live your glowiest years yet. Until next week, I am Jill Gilbert, your host of Anti-Aging Uncensored. Have a great week.